Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Rose is your name, but when you poop, it sure don't smell like roses. Your number 2 burns the hair in my nose. But we fought hand in paw. Now your poop don't stink at all. Now that the air is clear, I'll treasure your front and rear, my sweet rose.
Instantly neutralize poop stink with Poop Fighter from World's Best Cat Litter for the world's best cat.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Time to rise and grind with us right here on the Early Line, Sirius XM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. It's a glorious Wednesday, April the 3rd, as we look forward to this weekend's Final Four action, both the men's and the women's basketball. Talking about the NBA, boy, we are heading down the backstretch. Some interesting players took the court last night, so let's welcome in our esteemed colleague here. I'm Donnie Wrightside. You know who that is? Yeah, it's Joe Ranieri. He's ready to go on a Wednesday morning. Joe, are we feeling good about today?
I'm feeling really good about today. A whole lot of day baseball going on. Like you said, final couple of pushing games for some teams here in the NBA. So let's saddle up here, Donnie.
Let's hit the ground running, which means big news in the city of brotherly love. Joel Embiid was back on the court yesterday. Now, here's what we love about the NBA, Joe. And we always preface people in the morning. We're the early line. We get a fresh look at the lines. In an NBA, if you are wagering, you better wait till later in the day. We had the show yesterday where a minus 5.5-point line towards OKC was during the early line yesterday. We also got news. Joel Embiid missed shoot around. He won't be playing tonight. By the end of the day, SGA sat out. Joel Embiid came back into the game, and the Sixers closed as a 3-point favorite in a 109-105 victory over OKC. It's never a dull moment in the NBA, Joe.
Just absolutely hilarious that came in as late as it did. The line flipped. The line flipped, Donnie, in the afternoon with the news of SGA sitting. But then it just went bonkers once we knew Embiid was playing last minute as well. So the NBA has done a pretty good job of avoiding this for most of the year until yesterday.
That's when we talk about the 7-7, the hottest topics in sports, man. You got to watch the NBA if you have a little side eye on it, like, hey, what's going on over here? An 8-point swing in the odds market yesterday. Good luck on that one as we welcome in the radio audience. You're watching and listening live to the Early Line right here, SiriusXM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. Joe Ranieri, Donnie Wrightside, hottest topics in sports, which includes this. Let me give you the preface on this one on the box score. Luka Doncic drops 30 points. That's a triple-double. You take a look at Kyrie Irving, 10 of 19 from the field, 27 points. Steph Curry only scores 13 points. You know who won that basketball game? No, it wasn't the Dallas Mavericks. It was the Golden State Warriors, 104-100 over the Mavericks. Defense, defense, defense for the Golden State Warriors.
Well, I mean, just nobody else stepped up for Dallas. Everybody stepped up outside of the guys you mentioned there. I mean, Wiggins, where's that Wiggins been exactly? We've been kind of waiting here. Drops 23 with Klay Thompson and Steph Curry. Not exactly the best, but you know what? It was good enough to beat the one-man show and the Dallas Mavericks because that's about what it was with his triple-double.
It was. It's one, I'm telling you, the Dallas Mavericks, one of those teams, Joe, I'm really rooting for it to get into the playoffs and do some damage just because I like their top 1-2 punch. Yeah. It's a lot of fun to watch when it rolls out there. Just didn't work yesterday. And again, if you're just reading the box score, that should have been a runaway, easy victory for the Mavericks, and it just wasn't. Yeah. Great win there for the Warriors trying to stave off those Houston Rockets for that final spot to get into the play-in rounds. You take a look at the next game here, the Denver Nuggets, 110-105 over the San Antonio Spurs. This is why we love Nikola Jokic. Typically, he has his starting lineup out there and says, you know what, I'll get mine when I need to, but I'm going to get everybody else involved. Not the case last night. 42 points and 16 rebounds in a 5-point victory over the San Antonio Spurs. No Jamal Murray in the lineup, no problem. You take a look at Jokic, this is why he's the MVP right now of the NBA.
And this is why you never ever lay 16, 17 points when you're going up against a guy like Wembanyama that can absolutely match him there. 23, 15, and 8. I think he had 9 blocks, almost a quadruple double. By the way, they may not have won, but like all great teams, Donnie, the San Antonio Spurs covered in Denver last night.
There you go. Wembanyama and the boys get the cover. That's what's most important here. You didn't win a basketball game. You get better ping pong balls here. So it all worked out in their favor last night. Now, one thing we were waiting for here in Philadelphia, much like a big return from Joel Embiid, was where's Bryce Harper been? No hits on the season. He came through in a big way yesterday, Joe. A 9-4 victory for the Phillies over the Cincinnati Reds. And Bryce Harper, 3-for-4 at the plate, 6 RBI, 3 home runs, which included a grand slam. And by the way, if you watch the highlights, was robbed by Will Benson in center field for another RBI double. He was on it last night in the freezing cold, rainy conditions at Citizens Bank Ballpark yesterday. Big win for the Phillies, but a bigger night by Bryce Harper.
Yeah, well, it's about time, especially those that have him on our fantasy team here. You know the last Philadelphia Philly to hit 3 home runs in a game, including a grand slam? You're a Philly guy.
Who?
How about Jason Worth back in 2008?
Wow.
Blast from the past there, huh?
Good old Jason. Hey, man, Worth. We were winning titles back in 08 at that point with Jason Worth. So shout out to the 08 Phillies bringing home the championship. Yep. Maybe that's a sign to come this year for the 2024 Philadelphia Phillies. I'll tell you a sign to come here. If you're not watching the NIT, maybe you're doing it wrong. Indiana State, 100. Utah, 90. They advance into the finals. Seton Hall in Georgia. Seton Hall, 84-67 over Georgia. Indiana State, Seton Hall for all the marbles in the NIT.
And it should be an awful lot of fun watching that one go down. You know, the mid-major looking for respect. Seton Hall, feels like they might have been slighted in the tournament. So here we go. Buckle up. Should be a good one.
It's, by the way, like, I know you can't, you know, have revisionist history, but it is like we wanted Indiana State in the tournament. They've been playing good basketball. Seton Hall probably should have been in the tournament, now playing great basketball. So maybe they can cut down the nets just in a different tournament from what they actually wanted to be in. I'll tell you who's cutting down the nets right now, and that's the network executives here that are showing women's hoops. 12.3 million people watched Iowa LSU. No surprise, I was one of those 12.3 million people. Joe Ranieri was one of those 12.3 million people. It was a good deal. All the way around, lived up to the hype, and good to see the growth of the women's game here.
I would also imagine that the handle at FanDuel is probably the biggest it's been in a very long time on women's basketball. So it's a win-win, and Donnie, the numbers will probably be even bigger coming up for the Final Four.
Hey, by the way, like we see the Final Four coming up here, and that's the national championship game. You're going to be able to bet at the FanDuel Sportsbook on those props here. I don't hear the women complaining about the props. Why is it always the men complaining about, oh, no, somebody's yelling, somebody needs to cash me in a prop. Caitlin Clark, get me 3 more assists. He's going to, you know what, I got you up there. I got it done here. So let's continue on this madness here moving forward, which includes the Kansas City Chiefs signing Clyde Edwards-Helaire to a 1-year deal. Running backs this year, cashing tickets. Now, granted, he didn't come back to the Chiefs on a very big deal, but also, sidebar here. Are we looking at a new stadium in Kansas City for both the Royals and the Kansas City Chiefs? Probably not. Was voted down yesterday where Kansas City is saying, we're not paying billionaires to become trillionaires at this point here. So it's a double-edged sword there for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Good for them here. I'm wondering, have they found Rice yet? No, that's a different story. But yeah, listen, good for Clyde Edwards-Helaire because, yes, they're going to need to keep as many of those pieces that are affordable as possible for this next coming season and beyond with your $400 million quarterback.
Yeah, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, that first-round draft pick after the Super Bowl that they won, seemingly lost his job to Isaiah Pacheco, and rightfully so. Also, they brought in J.K. Dobbins for a look-see yesterday as a visit. So players signing up at running back by committee, that's really the new wave in the NFL. Don't let this offseason and free agency fool you at that point here. But I'll tell you who fooled us yesterday. It was Joel Embiid. It was the Philadelphia 76ers. It was the Thunder. Let's cover the NBA next. What actually happened? yesterday, right here on your line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number one in full effect right here on the Early Line. Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Donnie Wrightside along with Joe Ranieri, and it's time to get to the NBA. And this is some of the arguments that we can have, or let's just say some of the, you know, fun points that we can make. Handicapping is hard in this industry, and every morning we preface it by saying, and it seemed like, Joe, we don't bring this up in the NHL. We don't bring this up in college basketball. We don't bring this up really in the NFL or any other Major League Baseball, let's just say. But we always preface it. In the morning, when we handicap the NBA, it's like, hey, maybe you should wait on this wager until 5 p.m. And yesterday, case in point with the Philadelphia 76ers and the OKC Thunder. What happened yesterday? Well, the final score was 109 to 105. Joel Embiid did come back, but as we were led to believe yesterday and following beat writers and also national beat writers as well, hey, look, Joel Embiid missed the morning shooter around. He's declared out for this game. So I remember bringing that up to you yesterday, Joe, and I said, I wonder if this line is going to change because it sits at 5.5. Then by the time I got on my radio show in the afternoon for Moneyline, it was 2.5. But we still didn't get word that Joel Embiid was even playing yet, but Shai Gilgeous-Alexander looks like he wasn't going to play in that game. So case in point, this line was a 5.5-point favorite in the morning for the Thunder, which ended up in a 3-point favorite at the FanDuel Sportsbook by the time we hit game time because Joel Embiid played. Now, the question was, what were we going to get out of Joel Embiid yesterday? Close to 30 minutes on the court, 12 of 12 from the free throw line, 24 points, and a Philadelphia 76ers win, even without Tyrese Maxey. Let's start there. Handicapping the NBA with these roller coasters of emotions on who's actually going to play. And also, what did you think about Joel Embiid on the court yesterday, Joe?
Well, it was most of the reports that we got starting right around this time yesterday morning here, Donna. You talked about it. Wasn't at the shoot around. This was a game circled, right, that we had heard. This was the game that he would come back in, and then all of a sudden that felt like it was kiboshed most of the afternoon. And then all of a sudden Jalen Williams was questionable. SGA was questionable. And then all of a sudden both were ruled out. We still assumed Embiid was going to be out in this game. So the market fluctuation on this game, would, depending on when you got in, you could have been extremely happy or extremely furious with the fact that you were holding the worst of the number because the market went bonkers the minute Embiid, like we thought it would, the minute Embiid was announced in over here, those that were backing OKC, boy, you bet them early. You were kind of wishing that you had all the information like we do each and every day, Donnie. But the NBA, for the most part this year, had curbed that. This was the most egregious one that I can remember in a long time here in the NBA.
Yeah, and OKC is still up 10 at the break, and the Sixers still being able to gain control in the third and the fourth quarters there. I was impressed that we got that much out of Joel Embiid. I didn't know what the minutes restriction would be, but quite frankly, he's playing close to 30 minutes. There really wasn't any. You saw he had the bulky brace on his knee just for protection, and he was trying to wiggle that around and get used to it all game long, as most players were, because you're not used to playing with that brace. But the one thing I thought was actually going to happen yesterday was, if you were taking a look at Maxey not playing in that game, Joe, and then you say, okay, Joel Embiid, maybe we sit him out against OKC, and if that's going to be a loss, so be it, because the more important games are coming up, which includes a game this week against the Miami Heat. But Maxey did sit out, and as we saw Joel Embiid come back into the game, finishing with 24-7-6, that's a good look for the Sixers, because it just looks like if Joel Embiid comes back, no matter who you play against, you're going to be competitive, which then leads us to believe, as we look down the future and say, boy, if the Sixers wind up in that 7 or 8 spot after the play-in, that is going to be unbelievable to watch that play out. But I was impressed overall by the Philadelphia 76ers picking up the win against OKC. Just made it interesting nonetheless to watch you play out, and the Sixers actually got the cover.
Kind of hard to believe, and it was funny because they were down about 7 minutes or so left in the game, and then Kelly Oubre and Embiid making some big free throws at the end came back and got it done for them. But boy, oh boy, I saw him afterwards. He was embracing Iverson, was courtside there last night. And that meant, I thought he was going to pass out. Like, Embiid looked absolutely exhausted. And what do you expect from a guy, a big man, and hasn't played, what, Donnie, 3 months? I mean, my goodness, what an effort by him. And more importantly, you know, the great ones usually elevate everyone around him, and he did just that with the Sixers last night.
How about the Heat last night? 109-99 victory. Oh, no, Joe. Your best bet was an over. There's no way that hit. Oh, yeah. Check the box score and the total that it closed at. It absolutely hit yesterday. And by the way, the Knicks don't even get to 100 points despite an effort of 20 from Brunson, 24 from McBride, and also 31 points from Dante DiVincenzo. And off the bench, Bogdanovich, 6 of 10 from the floor for 16 points. And it only equates to 99 points because that team doesn't have a lot of talent outside of one or two players in that starting lineup. That's a good win for the Miami Heat because, as we just pointed out, the Philadelphia 76ers right on their heels trying to chase down the Pacers. The Heat don't want to be in that play-in round. That's a big-time win for the Heat. And also keep in mind, just a few games up on the Heat is the Knicks. So the Heat taking down the Knicks yesterday, that was massive for the standings for the New York Knicks as well.
Yeah, and it was the best game Terry Rozier has had with Miami since the trade. I mean, he made 8 threes in that game, dropped 34, 10 of 15 from the field, 8 of 11 from 3, and he single-handedly was the reason why they ended up running away. And in typical Heat fashion, they were up double digits until, of course, the fourth quarter, and they let the Knicks get back in it. And then they ran away with it there with a 12-0 run. So it was a good win for Miami. I thought the Knicks would get at least 100 points. And I thought having Kevin Love and Caleb Martin and company, Duncan Robinson, having them available, you know, it might be raining threes. I didn't even take into consideration that Rozier would go 8 of 11 from 3 in that game. So good win for Miami.
Yeah, we're still waiting for Miami to be whole, right, in that starting lineup where everybody gets back in the lineup that we're anticipating being starters. The same thing with the New York Knicks and the Philadelphia 76ers, which brings up the Eastern Conference odds to cut down the Nets to get to the finals here, as if you're winning a region in NCAA action. Celtics still a heavy favorite at a minus 140 price. The Bucks at a plus 320 price, followed by the Knicks, Sixers, and the Heat here. I do find it so interesting because there is going to be a round one matchup, whether it be the Celtics playing the Sixers, or let's just say the Celtics playing the Miami Heat or vice versa, and the Bucks jump in there, where you're not used to playing them as an 8 seed. Usually that 1-8 is like, okay, let's see if we can get them out of here in 5 games and move on to the next round. If it is the Heat and or the 76ers, what are the chances, Joe, in your mind, that the Heat or the Sixers can pull that big time upset, if you will, in rounds one going up against those top seeded teams?
One of them will, Donnie. I mean, that's probably, so. One or the other here, right? I mean, Miami's what, a game and a half, I think, ahead of Philadelphia for the 7th seed. I think they're only a half game back now from Indiana, who is up and down, kind of just hovering around that 6th seed. So I think Miami wouldn't mind getting in that 6th seed and being like, all right, let's go here. I don't think they want anything to do with any sort of play-in situation here. And Philadelphia's got to be feeling good to get the big man back here. And you're probably not feeling great if you're Milwaukee right now, sitting with the 2 seed going, so who am I going to have to play exactly now out of this group here? It's going to be a very interesting final couple of games here down the stretch to see who does what.
It's pretty wild because we'll get to it a little bit later, but the Milwaukee Bucks didn't show up last night against the Washington Wizards, which again sets them up as only a game and a half lead over the Cleveland Cavaliers. So theoretically, Cleveland can jump the Milwaukee Bucks. Then you take a look at just behind them, 15 games back of the Celtics and 15 games back of the Celtics, the Magic and the Knicks, then followed by the Pacers, only a game and a half back from the Orlando Magic and the New York Knicks. And then we start to take a look at the Miami Heat, a half game back of the Pacers, then the Philadelphia 76ers, 2 games back of the Pacers to jump them to get into that 6th spot here. It's going to be fun to watch this play out. But as we said again, even in the Western Conference, you got teams like the Golden State Warriors and the Los Angeles Lakers that aren't going to be traditional 7-8 seeds once they get in to the playoffs if they get into the play-in rounds. And the same thing we're talking about here in the NBA Eastern Conference, where the 76ers full go with Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey and the Miami Heat getting all their starters back. That's not a true 7-8 or even 6 seed at this point. And also, if you take a look at the Boston Celtics, Joe, who are a very good basketball team, they don't want that. But also, what's up with the Bucks here, man? The Bucks aren't playing good basketball, and they're going to get a big-time effort by one of those teams in the 6, 7, or 8 holes right there. So amazing stuff in the NBA, but let's continue the rest of it. The Western Conference, just as crazy, people. It's the early line. Talking the NBA, and we'll be right back after this short break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
NBA was hot last night in the Western Conference. Time to get you up to date right here on the Early Line. Donnie Wrightside and Joe Ranieri. And we'll start out in Golden State yesterday. The city of San Francisco was the place to be for a 104-100 win by the Golden State Warriors. Now, you might look at that and say, wow, I know exactly what happened in this game. Golden State was probably decent, but the Dallas Mavericks either benched or Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic just didn't show up last night, and it happens. That's why they only got 100 points. What if I told you Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving combined for 57 points in that game? You'd say that should have been an easy victory, and it wasn't. And also, taking a look at the Golden State Warriors box score yesterday, Steph Curry, 13 points, Klay Thompson, 14 points. Where do the points come from? Well, that was Andrew Wiggins with 23 points, solid play off the bench by Chris Paul, 20 minutes and 14 points. Good win for the Golden State Warriors, who finally see, like, okay, the Houston Rockets were charging behind us. Let's put this out right now, win some basketball games, and get into the play-in round. That's a good win by the Golden State Warriors in a game where, if you looked at the box score, I don't think they should have won that game.
I'm still shaking my head on how they ended up doing it. I mean, Sabonis, another good game for them, but Doncic, another good game for him. His 48th, 30th point game of the season. Think about that. 48th, 30 point effort. He only trails SGA, by the way, who has 50 of those games this year. So he is a one-man wrecking crew, and it looked like early on in this game that was exactly what this was going to be. You know, Kyrie was playing to his strengths, and, you know, it was going to be the Doncic show, and it was quite early that Steph Curry did not have his best stuff there. He was clanking him off the rim all night long, but Wiggins showed up, and like you mentioned, guys off the bench, Chris Paul, Moody, they didn't have Kuminga last night either. He was ruled out. They hope to have him back by Thursday, but all in all, it was the defense, and Wiggins, especially his defense down the stretch, was tremendous there. So 104-100, it's a great win for Golden State, who needed it. But Dallas has got to be going, how did we lose this game when our two best guys dropped 57? Even P.J. Washington had 20 in that game, and it still wasn't good enough.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Sometimes it just works out that way. We say, boy, I handicapped this correctly and still did not get it right if you were backing the Dallas Mavericks. But a game where the Dallas Mavericks were playing it against the Golden State Warriors, and maybe the Golden State Warriors were looking up and watching the scoreboard and getting big smiles on their faces from the Minnesota Timberwolves, 113-106 victory over the Houston Rockets. The Rockets had been the hottest team in the NBA, being cooled off lately, and the Golden State Warriors can certainly appreciate that. In the game last night, Fred VanVleet went for 22, Green went for 26, and Smith Jr. went for 18 for Houston, but it just wasn't enough. As you take a look at the scoring, 25 points out of Naz Reid. How about that? Anthony Edwards only went for 21, but a strong bench effort where two guys were in double digits here, and that was Anderson and also McLaughlin coming off the bench. Solid performance from Minnesota as they await to get their big guy back, Carl Anthony Towns, but a tough loss for the Houston Rockets, and the playoff vibes fading fast in H-Town.
Yeah, I mean, listen, somebody's got to step up with Karl Anthony Towns out, and Naz Reid has been that guy. I think that's his sixth or seventh straight start in place of Karl Anthony Towns. And, I mean, he did really, really well. He's averaging, what, 13 points, five boards? He's shooting 40% from three, which is hilarious. But, you know, where they get these big men, Minnesota, that keep hitting from the perimeter. And it was this was a line, too, Donnie, that didn't move throughout the day. It was 7, 7.5 most of the day. The total dropped a little bit, but, you know, you were wondering, well, who's going to be in, who's going to be out? Is Edwards going to rip? No, they went full tilt, and they still managed to get it done. But Houston, somehow getting those 7.5 points, still managed to get the cover, and they've been pretty good at that down the stretch here.
Yeah, you take a look at the Minnesota Timberwolves still fighting for that number one overall seed. So that was a big win, but also both ways. One team like the Houston Rockets trying to squeak into the playoffs as that 10 seed in the play-in rounds. Doesn't look like that's going to happen as of now. Not too many games to go here. The one game we looked at yesterday, Joe, and I think your comment was, I don't care what you have to lay against the Toronto Raptors. Just lay it against them because they've basically been giving up as of late. The Lakers 128, the Raptors 111. That's a road cover. Like, ooh, when did they get it by? Was it 4.5 points, 5.5? half points? No, it was basically two touchdowns, and the Lakers still got it done. Mm-hmm. And this is what you like about the Lakers games. You get these wins, and LeBron James and Anthony Davis don't have to play over 30 minutes because you basically have this game in your back pocket by the time you start the fourth quarter. Anthony Davis had 21 points and 12 rebounds. LeBron James, 23 and 9. You take a look at Russell, 25 points and also 7 assists in that game, which included 7 of 14 from three-point range. The Lakers now, one of the hottest teams in the NBA. How about that? And the Raptors, hey, man, get to the golf course soon enough.
Yeah, no, it's, again, this is one of those teams like we talked about yesterday, Toronto, where you don't mind laying the big numbers. What was it last week or the week prior, Diner? We saw the Knicks laying 17 going there, and we're like, yeah, lay it. It's not going to be a problem. And even the Knicks were able to win and cover there. And that's what it's going to be like. You're not going to get you're certainly not going to get any small numbers. Even when they play Detroit, I think they're going to be a dog. This has not been a good final stretch, but they did get Barrett and Quigley back, who had some points there last night, but it really didn't make a difference. D'Angelo Russell was on fire from outside. He was dropping bombs all over the place. That looked a lot like the old Showtime Lakers last night. They were making the extra pass. They were bombing away. They were hitting nothing but net. It was entertaining to watch the Lakers get the win and get the cover. Question is, can they keep doing that over the next, you know, final seven, eight games of the regular season and go in with some momentum into the playoffs?
Yeah, and also that gives you the ability, because I thought they would play yesterday, even if LeBron James was coming in questionable with that ankle. These are the games that you like to play because you want to pick up the victory. You want to rest him on a game that maybe you're not going to win and just let the chips fall with some of the backup guys handling their business. But a great win by the Lakers here. And it looks like now the Golden State Warriors and the Los Angeles Lakers firmly entrenched in that play-in round where there were some questions about a week to week and a half ago. So let's take a look at that environment here as we get through in just a moment. But while we're watching the 6 through 10 here, the Pelicans, the Kings, the Suns, and the Warriors, 41 and 34. It's really kind of interesting how it lines up because we're also factoring in teams trying to stay in the top six, which will include the Sacramento Kings and also the Los Angeles Clippers. If we line up that game last night, 109 to 95, what the heck is going on with the Clippers, by the way? I can't figure them out. And it used to be the Suns for me in the Western Conference that I don't want to touch. Now it turns out, is it going to be the Clippers here? Nice win, by the way, for the Kings yesterday. Mr. Double Double. Domantas Sabonis does it again.
Yeah, well, we learned late in the afternoon yesterday, again, another one of these spots where Kawhi Leonard all of a sudden was sitting this one out with a knee issue, but they hope to have him back on Thursday. But, you know, Sacramento had not been great this year at home, certainly as a favorite. They had a less than 500 ATS record. They burned a lot of bettors this year here while they were trying to light the beam because they didn't. They barely covered or didn't cover or lost. And you kind of thought that was the game we were going to get until Kawhi's out. And then Harden had absolutely no answer for the defense the Kings were throwing at him. Paul George looked all discombobulated. He drops 41 against Charlotte, and then he comes back last night, and he's got no clue as to what he's doing. He looks like he's never played the game before, but give credit to Sacramento, and Coach Mike Brown afterwards was like, listen, that's exactly what I've been trying to get these guys to do, because we're not going to win playoff games averaging 125 points a game and think that's how we're going to win. And he's right. You know, you're going to have to take good offensive teams like the Clippers, and you're going to have to hold them under 100 points. And that's exactly what they did last night.
Let's take a look at that play-in picture because it's pretty wild here. And this is what we like. The NBA added intrigue by adding more teams in here into the fold. So if you take a look at just the standard 1 through 6, it's the Nuggets, Timberwolves, and the Thunder sort of fighting for and jockeying for position of who's going to be that number one overall seed. But then you have the Clippers, who are 2 games ahead of the Dallas Mavericks and the New Orleans Pelicans. And just behind them, 8.5 games back and 8.5 games back of the Denver Nuggets, which means a game out of the Mavericks and the Pelicans are the Kings and the Suns, then followed by the Lakers and the Warriors. Heading down, like, this is why it's such big, you know, news, because you take a look at the Kings that still currently sit in that 7 spot, which means they would be in the play-in round. But they knock off the Clippers and now say, okay, now we're getting a little bit closer to the Mavericks who lost last night and the Pelicans who have lost 2 straight here and gaining ground quickly. If we're looking at this play-in round, so you don't want to be in there. But if we're looking at the Suns and the Kings, what are the chances for you that at least one of those teams moves out of the play-in round and supplants, let's just say, the Mavericks and or the Pelicans?
Well, you know, Matt, styles make fights, right? So that's going to be the question. We've always known that Sacramento, certainly, things didn't work out as well as they would. They didn't expect themselves to be in this spot here. But they also realized somewhere along the line that, listen, we don't need to win the West. We don't need to be a 1-2. We just have to get in. And I think the version that you saw last night is what they're trying to do. I think some of these teams are trying to gear up. And I think some teams like the Clippers might be downshifting right now here, Donnie, and going, you know what, fourth, fifth, we're good. We're not winning. It's not we're good. We just want to make sure we're healthy and we are good to go, because Harden looked like he didn't want to be there last night. And Sacramento, you would have thought that was a game seven of a playoff series with how intense they were. So kudos to Sacramento. That could be a dangerous team moving forward.
Yeah, look at the bottom of the standings there, 9-10, still getting in that play-in round. That's the Lakers and the Golden State Warriors. And it was roughly a week and a half ago or something like, oh, my goodness. Look at the Houston Rockets right now, the hottest team in the NBA, Golden State floundering a little bit. And once the Houston Rockets got within a game of the Golden State Warriors, what happened at that point? Golden State's like, all right, enough is enough. Five-game win streak now to put themselves at a little bit of distance. So they have a full three-game lead currently over the Houston Rockets to stave off hanging back in the 11th seed as opposed to making the playoffs. So it's interesting that the Golden State Warriors being pressed a little bit right now, and we're having some fun seeing who's actually going to get into the play-in round and who's going to be left out of it. Exciting times in the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference. It's a Wednesday morning, right here on the Sports Grid Network, and you are watching the Early Line. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Major League Baseball back in a big way, and we're going to cover it right now on the Early Line. It's Sonny Wrightside. It's Joe Ranieri, and we're going to start in the city of brotherly love yesterday, which the weather wasn't giving us a lot of love. Rainy and cold throughout the day, but they squeezed this game in, and I'm glad they did, at least for Bryce Harper's sense. Coming into this game, hitless on the season. Things weren't looking good for the Fightin' Phils. 1-3 overall. You got to take care of your business sooner or later against the Cincinnati Reds, and Bryce Harper was here. Freezing cold, windy conditions blowing in, it didn't matter. Three home runs yesterday for Bryce Harper, which included a grand slam, a total of six RBI yesterday. And it's crazy. You go 3-for-4 this early in the season, you probably should be hitting like 700 at this point. That raised Harper up to 200 on the season because, yes, he came into this game without a hit through four games into the season. But a big-time performance for the Philadelphia Phillies as this game goes over the total with a 9-4 win, a much-needed win for the Philadelphia Phillies.
Yeah, and it was really only him early in this game, Donnie, if you saw, right? It was like his homers, because it was a tight game early thanks to his, and then, of course, once he hit the grand slam, everything kind of changed. But, listen, it's Bryce Harper, people. We know there's going to be games like this. You expect there's going to be games like this here. It's a good win for Philadelphia, especially after they threw up the game the night before in extra innings, giving up Brogdon, giving up the grand slam. Kudos to Harper, but you know what the long game is with him, right, Donnie? It's can he play in enough games that we can rely on him, or are we gonna have to deal with him being on the shelf for a month and a half? Let's fingers crossed, because if he's healthy and plays 145, 150 games. Yeah, good luck, Braves, trying to keep him in check here down the stretch.
Yeah, rubber match coming up between the Reds and the Phillies in the afternoon. We'll see if it plays here, because in the Philadelphia area, rainy and cold once again today here. Oof. But you bring up a good point there with Bryce Harper. Usually he's coming in the offseason off of surgery, and last year missing basically half of the season before getting it going. But this year at the end of training camp, you saw the back spasms come up, didn't play a lot down the stretch, scheduled day off already within the first three games in the Major League Baseball season. As far as the Phillies goes, it's really going to be Bryce Harper. Marsh actually chipped in yesterday with three hits also. also, but you need a Bryce Harper to get off to a good start. The one thing that we know about pressure, right? You always love a Major League Baseball season. Even if you don't start off great, you start off average. You're hitting 300 over the first week of the season. Okay, let's get it going. But when you go 0 for 6, 0 for 7, 0 for 8, 0 for 11 the start of the season, it starts to compound your issues as opposed to getting off to that hot start. Getting off to a hot start this year, no surprise, it's the Los Angeles Dodgers. A victory yesterday over the San Francisco Giants, 5-4. Logan Webb took the loss, only 3 2/3 innings pitched and 5 earned runs yesterday. So a tough loss there for Webb, who's supposed to be the ace of the San Francisco Giants staff. You take a look at the lineup and you know it's powerful. When Ohtani can go hitless in a ball game and you still win because Mookie Betts is outrageous in hitting 500 already on the season with yet another home run. I believe that's his 5th home run of the season already for Mookie Betts. Superstar shining in LA here.
Yep, league-leading 5th home run, in fact. Freddie Freeman chipped in 3 more hits here, and you're right. I mean, the Dodgers got to – Webb wasn't good. He pitched from behind most of the time while he was out there, and this was a bullpen game for the Dodgers. So this had a lot of people looking towards the Giants here thinking, all right, I get the ace on the mound going up against, you know, Grove and whoever else, their Yarbrough they're going to throw in there. Well, it's, you know, when you have that lineup there, and once again, you can start the game off with a jack by Betts, it makes it a little bit easier to win some games here. And Webb did not look good at all. So hopefully better things are to come for him. Otherwise, the Giants could very well be in trouble.
Yeah, Dodgers closed yesterday, Joe, about a -150 favorite. So it was one of those points that we're looking at yesterday. But, like, well, you know, the sharp edge is probably the Giants because it shows there's a legitimate chance for them to win, but also just the public fanfare of the Dodgers that goes, I'm not going to see very many -150s on the season for the Dodgers at home. I might as well take it here. Yep. And granted, it won. So congratulations if you were backing it in that direction. A team finally lost a game in 2024. That was the New York Yankees, who came into yesterday's game against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Off a win against the Diamondbacks and 5-0 on the season. They now sit at 5-1. The Diamondbacks improved to 4-2 because why? Zach Gallen was tremendous yesterday. And this is a running theme for him. He is a great pitcher, but even better at home out there in the desert. 6 innings pitched, 3 earns, no earned runs, excuse me, 3 hits, no earned runs, 6 Ks and 3 walks in that game. And one of the themes that's popping up already for the Yankees early season is Nestor Cortez behind the 8-ball early in games, gives up 3 runs to the Yankees in the first inning, and that was away. Excuse me, 3 runs to the Diamondbacks in the first inning. That was away. She went 7-0 victory. Impressive by the Arizona Diamondbacks here.
Yeah, and impressive by Zach Gallen and company as well. But yeah, they got to Nestor early, and you know, playing from in front on the road, you know, at home if you're Arizona is exactly what you want to do. But you're right, nasty Nestor is not so nasty anymore here. 8 hits, 3 earned. He walked 2, but he only struck out 2. The thing that I noticed with him is he's not missing a lot of bats here, Donnie, and that's a problem because a team like Arizona, who puts the ball in play a lot, if you can't miss a couple of barrels, you're going to be playing from behind a lot. And oh yeah, with the guys that were waiting to hit for the Yankees, like, let's see, Judge 0-3, Rizzo 0-4, Stanton 0-3. You get the hint on what's going on there too. So not a great start. Fortunate to be 5-1, the Yankees.
Yeah, but you're right about that. Let's just take a look at the top 6 batters in the lineup for the New York Yankees and batting average wise. 171 for Torres. Then you have Soto, the outlier, 417 on the season. He was only 1-4 last night. Judge, 125. Rizzo, 182. Stanton, 150. And Verdugo, 143. Not going to win very many games like that. Now, granted, Volpe's had a good start to the season at 529 and Cabrera at 409. But then Trevino, 111. Wells, 200. You're just not going to get a lot of wins that way. So you're right. Fortunate to be 5-1 at this point without the main parts of your offense actually helping you out in that offensive bottom line outside of basically Soto to start that lineup. We'll see where the Yankees go, but that's a pretty formidable opponent in the Arizona Diamondbacks. We'll see where the rest of that series winds up. Let's head out to the West Coast there. T-Mobile Ballpark, Cleveland Guardians 5, which improves to 4-2. The Mariners only scored 2 runs, and they dropped to 3-3. Castillo, how about this? 5 2/3 innings, 10 hits, 4 earned runs, even though he did have 7 Ks. Bieber, absolutely fantastic on the road. 6 innings pitched, 6 hits, no earned runs, 9 Ks, and not a single walk. This is the Bieber that we're used to here.
Yeah, and just terrible condition. You know, it was cold, windy. He's dominating. He doesn't throw terribly hard. It's hard to believe. I saw it on the broadcast last night. I can't believe he's like 28 years old. I feel like Bieber's been around for a million years here, and it's not. But my goodness, is he filthy! It harkens back to the days of a Greg Maddux who wasn't going to blow the ball by you, right? He wasn't throwing 100 miles an hour, but what he did was he put the ball wherever the hell he wanted to, and usually it was where you couldn't hit it. This is the guy that does exactly the same thing here in Bieber. That's back-to-back fantastic outings here, which is a good sign for Cleveland if they can figure out the bullpen, because that's the biggest concern they have right now.
Yeah, he should have an easy win in that first five when you take a look at the total to the under. If you just said, hey, by the way, one team's not going to score. Like, what's that, 1-0 at the end of five innings? I mean, my goodness, yeah, that was an impressive performance by Bieber, wasted by Castillo, who, again, gave up 10 hits over 5 2/3 innings, something that you certainly don't want to see. I'll tell you what you don't want to see. The Los Angeles Angels in town and being the better ball club than your team here. And that's what you're finding out in Miami as Miami drops to 0-6 on the season. And worse off, Joe, 0-6 at home. It's like, hey, man, look, we played the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks, 3 games apiece on the road to open the season. Yeah, we would like to win at least one or two of those games, but we're 0-6. Let's get back home and win some games. The Marlins losing games to the Pirates and the Angels. This is supposed to be a great start for the Marlins here in 2024. They get beat 3-1, and handicapping this game, I thought the Marlins would hit. I thought their team total would be valid in this game because Tyler Anderson is a bad pitcher. Tyler Anderson goes 7 innings, 4 hits, no earned runs, and 5 Ks. An anemic Miami Marlins to open the season here, Joe.
Well, you listen, you know it's bad when Aaron Hicks is hitting home runs off of your pitching staff. And that was really the problem here with Miami, wasn't it? Alcantara gone. Every pitcher that they have that we thought, you know, young arm that they had has either been hurt, is on the shelf, is not going to be there. This is a team that won, 33-14 in one-run games a year ago, Donnie. That's going to regress. They lost, Soler to the Giants, who hit a home run yesterday against the Dodgers. They lost their pie. This is going to be a long season, unfortunately, for the Marlins. But you know what? It's what they built. It's what they got there right now.
Exactly. Already they're saying, like, let's get to see what the Heat can do in the playoffs. Let's see what the Panthers can do in the playoffs. How about the Miami Dolphins? Let's get there. Miami Hurricanes. I mean, already an afterthought into 6 games into a 162-game slate. That's your Miami Marlins here. Let's take a look at another game, which had an interesting finish yesterday. It seemed to me like the Toronto Blue Jays might never score again in Houston, getting no hit the night before and going into the ninth inning without a single run and facing Josh Hader. That's supposed to be a 1-2-3 inning, but it wasn't. The Blue Jays play 2 runs on a 2-run shot in the ninth to down the Houston Astros 2-1 yesterday. And by the way, the Houston Astros, the favorites to win the American League. How about this start, Joe? 1-5. Ooh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's ugly. And we talked about it yesterday, right? We're going, oh, do we trust Berrios going up against Framber? But we were wondering, how long did the celebration the night before last? What were you going to get? Usually we try to, look the other way against, or, look to back teams that got no hit the game prior here. It was a lot closer than I thought it was going to be. But ultimately, in the end, Hader, he's had a few of these over the last couple of seasons here. And he had another one last night early on. Entertaining game, but my goodness, a big win for Toronto to bounce back after an embarrassing no-hit job against a guy that won't even be in a league in a year from now.
Ah, how about that? Marcell Ozuna last night, by the way, got 2 home runs going up against the Chicago White Sox. Mm. I think another easy victory for the Braves, but that's the only 2 runs that the Atlanta Braves scored last night in a 3-2 loss to the Chicago White Sox, who picked up their first victory. Yeah, in this game, Crochet, who I actually thought had a chance to get hit around. Keep in mind, we had 15-20 mile-an-hour winds blowing out to left field, so you figured if the ball just got up in the air, you would get some home runs. Now, granted, yesterday in this game, we did have 5 total runs, but 3 of those via the home run. But how about that? Shutting down that Braves lineup here, only 5 hits and 2 runs overall, which did include that one solo shot again in the ninth inning to make it a little bit closer than what the game was. The Braves, 3-2, finally the White Sox, Joe, on the board here in 2024.
Yeah, no, listen, they're not going to win every game, the Braves here. They're going to lose a few, but those conditions, you're right, It was laughable. Donnie, going, why they even, the people in the stands were miserable. Could you imagine trying to hit in that? Not great. But hey, big win for Chicago. Atlanta sitting at 3-2. It's a long season. I wouldn't get worried just yet, Braves fans.
And by the way, similar weather conditions there across the city for the Chicago Cubs. They played at 12 runs. Why? Probably just because they're playing the Colorado Rockies, who have dropped to 1-5 on the season as the Cubs now open up 2 at home in the friendly confines of Wrigley Field. It's 3-2 on the season. Assad had 6 innings pitched, 4 hits, no earned runs yesterday. Kyle Freeland, you might have thought he was actually pitching in Colorado. 3 1/3, 9 hits, 7 earned runs, and 3 walks here. My goodness, what season are we going to be getting out of the Colorado Rockies? A little puck talk text right here in the morning. Who says no? Not these two guys. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Quick little segment here before we head into hour number two, but it's time to talk a little bit of hockey. As also, we always focus a lot on the NBA, rightfully so, heading down the stretch with just a few games left. It's the same thing in the NHL. Teams jockeying for playoff positioning, teams trying to get into the playoffs, teams trying not to be let by the roadside here. How about this one? Golden Knights, little Vegas flu for the Vancouver Canucks, a 6-3 victory over the Canucks, and that has Jonathan Marchessault, 1 goal and 2 assists in that game. Jack Eichel also chipping in with a goal and an assist. Nice win there for the Golden Knights over the Canucks, Joe Ranieri.
Yeah, no, I mean, and down the stretch they come here, Donnie. There are some teams that are limping to the finish line, and there are some teams that are trying to ramp up here into the playoffs. You and I both know it's a grind, a Stanley Cup chase here. So good win by Vegas to get it done last night.
By the way, I know you were talking over the break here. The Canadiens 5, the Panthers 3 here. Oh, big upset there. La Habitance at home with the big W.
Yeah. Great job. And then we learned just before the puck drops that Bobrovsky's not in. Matt Tkachuk is not in. He suddenly got ill. Verhaeghe wasn't playing. Like half the lineup coming off of that loss to the Toronto Maple Leafs wasn't in that game last night. And it showed because they got absolutely boat raced 5-3. That's 8 of 10 they have now lost here down the stretch, the Florida Panthers.
By the way, Bruins go on the road. Tight game all the way through until late. The Bruins opened it up, a 3-0 victory over the Predators there. So Allmark, 31 saves in a shutout victory for the Bruins.
Yeah, and the Bruins now, another point there, separating themselves from the Panthers for that top spot. So, not a great stretch here for Florida. Good stretch for Boston.
A lot of things coming to head, but it is. I mean, the playoffs in hockey seem like they start on Christmas and don't get over to the 4th of July. I know that's a little bit of a catch at this point, but my goodness, it is tough to win those 7-game series on a night-to-night basis here. The only thing we're rooting for here at the network, I believe, is that the Philadelphia Flyers do make it into the playoffs here. I think that's the only thing we're cheering on for hockey at the network alone at this point, Joe Ranieri. Let's go, Flyers! Let's go! Our number 2 is coming up, and it's the Chiefs that are going to lead off. Let's go.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9/1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.